When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number two already. All right, let's run east of here and see where we can find Mike Jeffcoat this morning. Captain Mike, what's up, man?
I'm still a little bit north of you and west. So
north and west?
Yeah, I'm not in Venice, I'll tell you that much. I think they're just now getting uncovered from their snowstorm.
Thawing out
their
over
blizzard.
There.
Yeah, they had a blizzard over there.
They did. That's crazy. On the Gulf Coast, man.
Yep. Especially on the boat. I mean,
has anybody ever seen snow on the boot before?
Yeah. You know, even the old timers, they've talked about seeing snow, but nothing like this.
No,
you know,
not like
not
that.
Not 10 inches. Not 10 inches. They had fun, though, so. I just hope, you know, I didn't talk to nobody yesterday about the fish, but like I said, their lowest was 32, 31, they said, in spots, but, you know, that shouldn't
affect them. What, air temperature?
Yeah, air temperature. Yeah. So that shouldn't affect it in fish. And you heard anything here?
No, everything's good so far. It's all quiet on the home front. As far as fish kills, you know, there's a few back lake fish, you know, that
which
that always happens. I mean, that's
naturally. So, but well, I'm ready for it to warm up a little bit. I mean, I'm in the bottoms. I come out here yesterday morning and I got here about 7 and it was 25, still snow in the woods. So, it's been an interesting deal, you know, and them squirrels, they really didn't stir at all yesterday morning. We killed 9, but probably treed 40 times, but 30 of them 40 that we treed in was hollow trees, so that's a problem hunting out here in the bottom, you know, it's just too many hollows. And, we did make one come out of a hollow. I don't know, just maybe young squirrel, I think.
Yeah.
But, boy, yes, Demon. I mean, I rode around a little bit and even went and Darlene come out and I picked her up at the gate and them squirrels were stirring, yes, Demon. And I knew that. I should have waited. Honey, yes, Demon. So. And my dog's fresh, you know, it's just the second time he's been out, and
right.
He travels. I mean, he's nonstop. You can look at him on the GPS, and it'll show him 110 yards, you know, straight in front of you. And by the time you drop the GPS and look, he's over here to the left coming to you. I mean, he's fast, real fast. So, but he's really making a nice dog.
That's good.
He hears, I watched him yesterday. That was two or three times I saw him just stop and kind of cock his, you know, his head and go to listening and then just break and go straight to one. So he's hearing them squirrels. So he's fun.
Well, the more he trees and more he hunts them, the better he get.
Oh, absolutely. So
got to get some time on a dog, man.
Yeah, that's what makes them. They ain't
like
gonna make
us.
It. Yeah, they're not gonna make
Need
it.
That sea time, good. Baby.
Yep, sea time.
You know, I'm looking at some water temperatures that were sent to me. Tony G sent them to me. He got them from a couple of captains he knows over there in Louisiana. And this one monitor at Cricket B, northwest of El Cuatro Caballo near Delacroix, is showing the water temperature right at 34. And another monitor in that same area, it's the same one, and it showed 32 water temp.
Well,
that's not good.
That's a skinny water up there, too.
Yeah, that's. There's any fish in there, they're not doing so well.
No.
They're pelican bait.
Yep.
And that's what you look for. A lot of times these fish don't pop, and then pelicans are sitting all over them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they'll wait for them to pop up and grab them one.
Yep.
So if you see a lot of pelicans piled up in an area, you probably got some dead fish.
Yes. Especially in white pelicans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the ones I'm talking about, whites.
Yeah. You know, I don't look for nothing to say if I was fishing right now, and I used to fish in January, you know, and had some of the best trips I ever had in my life.
Right.
But I just rode around looking for white pelicans. Because they ain't dummies. They're not going to be sitting there swimming around burning up energy if they're not sitting on top of bait or fish or something.
Man, I was having a bad day one time. This was years ago, and, you know, we'd had a pretty good cold front. It was high pressure and behind it, but a gorgeous day. I don't know. We'd catch one here and one there, and we couldn't ever get anything lit off. And I was running up north, and there was two pelicans right off of a ledge on a flat, about 5 feet of water. They had them heads down and cocked over the side. You know how they swim and sneak up on bait?
Yep.
I put that troll motor down. I eased up there and, you know, got within casting distance of them. They wouldn't fly off. I said, well, they didn't fly off their own bait. They got to be on mullet. Buddy, we melted them down. We caught so many big trout under those two pelicans, and they stayed with us. We never scared them off. They were on them. And you can see them eating those mullet. Those mullet come to top, they'd jump all over them.
Yep.
On just one of those dead days where it, you know, you're 4 or 5 hours into a trip and going, man, it's not going to be any good. We're not going to get them. You just kind of know.
You're done.
Look at the water and it's all dead. And those two pelicans saved my bacon big time, buddy.
Yep. You were done to the point, what I do, give up or burn more
gas. that's where I was at. I'm just, you know, scratching my head going, man, I can't even get a bite.
Yep.
So that taught me a valuable lesson, and that was early in my career. I said, man, I'm never driving past white pelicans.
No, absolutely not. So, I did see something funny yesterday morning. Youngest son Greg, he come hunting with me, and that's another thing too. Just two people with a dog, it's not the best scenario. You just don't have enough eyes, and them squirrels slip around on the tree on you, and it makes it a little difficult. You know, you need at least 3, 5, 6 better.
Right.
We was just getting. Starting to leave camp, and he said, you hear that? I said, yeah, I do hear that. And we looked, and they was flying down the river, and they must have been, they was probably 3,000 sandhill cranes flying straight down the river to you.
Really?
Yep. You know, and it's getting kind of late for them sandhills to keep coming south. but I guess it's
where. You know, I heard some yesterday. They were way up high, you know, doing that circle. And it is late in the year to hear them. Usually I hear them, you know, late November, early December.
Yeah.
I'm going, man, I ain't never heard sand hills in late January like this. They're usually already where they're going to be, you know.
Yeah.
I guess that cold weather shoved another wad down or something.
I guess. And these were all graders, which we don't get no lessers down here.
No.
Not very few. But these was all graders. And, no, these wasn't high. I mean, they was flying. They wasn't too much above timberline.
Right.
I mean, it was crazy. And I don't know if they was trying to, you know, flying that low, they might have been trying to get up, you know, land on the river somewhere.
No telling.
It's, well, I broke ice yesterday morning. Like I said, I got here to camp, it was 25, and I broke ice the whole trip to where we was going hunting. I broke ice. And,
yeah, when I got home from the show yesterday morning at my house, it was 32 exactly.
Well,
a lot warmer this morning. It was 37, 38 coming in.
Really?
Yeah.
I done got up and built the fire, so
yeah,
I don't know how cold it is outside.
When I went on air, it was around 50 in Galveston. I need to see what it is.
50?
Yeah.
Wow. I definitely ain't wearing much clothes today then. Yesterday morning, you know, you had to.
It's 51.3 down there now. It's warmed up some more. That wind's gone southerly, so.
That'll be about right. The wind get up on me this morning. But,
it should get up this afternoon. I think you're going to have a pretty strong wind this afternoon, but it's not. It's down this morning. You're good. You can hear them squirrels barking.
Yep. You know, and that's one thing. Them squirrels don't, once them leaves get off them trees, they don't do a lot of barking.
There's nowhere to hide.
You know, that's something scares them. They ain't nowhere to hide. You know, and but what's weird, you know, the chicken hawks, them red tails, they're not here. You know.
Not like I've seen them before.
No.
Usually out my way, there's usually one on every telephone pole.
Yep.
This time of year. And I'm not seeing them.
I did not hear one yesterday.
You know, and I didn't, when I was down at Blaine's, I didn't see many hawks.
Huh.
And no, usually that's Hawk City because all the quail and dove, you know.
Right. They was here thick during the early part of the year. October, November, they was thick. But they're not right now. And the owls, I never heard an owl yesterday.
Well, I got
and owls. They've made a big comeback out here, but and they might have moved too. I mean, everything can move around, even squirrels. Them squirrels, if they don't have no mast, they're going to kill the young, and then they're going to move. They're going to find something to eat.
Right.
Every tree that dog treed on yesterday, you'd say where the squirrels been on the ground digging the acorns up. It was pretty cool.
Well, I got to have food, protein, stay warm. It's been cold, man.
Oh, them squirrels were fat. The ones we killed, they were butterball fat and had more hair on them than I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. They better have a good coat on them. They'll stay warm this year.
Yeah, well, we played dominoes last night. I had a cousin come out and stuff, and Dwayne Bonin, he was here and stuff. And they're talking about another cold blast 1st February.
I've been hearing and seeing all of that, but it so far, the outside forecast.
I can't find it on the app, but Darlene, you know, at their job, they've got a big monitor deal because, you know, they provide electricity.
Right.
And they're showing it. They're talking about 9, 10 degrees.
Here?
Yeah.
Oh, we're done.
Yeah.
We don't need that. Good Lord have mercy.
Because, you know, they're looking at the grid.
We did pull a hurricane this year, so, hey, here it comes.
Yeah, true.
All right, Mike, I got to run, buddy.
All right, bud.
Good luck on your squirrel hunt this morning. Somebody wants to call you, give a number.
832-338-9376. Catch us on the web at RJ Hunting and Fishing. And all you young couples out there, you don't think he can make it? Lynn Darling's made it 50. So there it is.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations. Just entering the golden age and with a golden anniversary.
That's what Trump said, didn't he? I forgot about
Boy, next time I see Darlene, I need to hug her neck, man. Put up with you for 50 years. My gosh, that woman's got to be crazy by now.
Oh, Lord.
All right, buddy.
All right. Later,
buddy. Take care, man. See you.
Bye.
All right. Well, folks, you looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure? Welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters also. So bring your friends, your clients, let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything for you, from five-star lodging, skeet shooting and sporting clays, to a fully stocked bass pond. Your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget, and if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups up to 40 and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com, and tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show. It's 519 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down Galveston Way and check in with Captain James Plogg this morning. James, good morning. What's up?
What's up, buddy?
How you doing, dog?
I'm good. Get out of here in a minute.
Going
oh, what? No, I'm going fishing. Nah, I'm fishing that tournament.
Oh, you're going to fish in it even being sick like you are?
Nah, I don't care. You can be sick at home, you can be sick fishing. One or two, don't matter.
Go for it.
So, we'll see. Is it nasty outside?
No. No, it's not. It's real nice.
Well, it's not. It looks like a little south wind, huh?
Yeah, southeast, southeast. It's not bad yet. It's supposed to blow pretty good this afternoon.
Yeah, like the water came back up a little bit. Man, it was low yesterday.
Yeah, you got a good flusher this morning, too, a negative 07 coming off at 1.0. So you got almost two foot swing, what it looks like.
When's the tide high? I didn't even look at it.
It's not high till nighttime.
Really?
See, so the high today will be at 4:19 p.m.
That's the high.
Then it's high all night, and then it goes out in the morning at 7.
When does it quit going out? When does it bottom out?
Probably about noon.
That ain't terrible. You probably ain't going to catch much till noon anyway.
Depending on where you're at, you know.
Right. Well, I don't think it'd be no good till noon anyway. If it's even any good, I don't know. Man, we're just going.
Going blind, Nello.
Going blind, buddy.
Yeah. Hell, I brought that up because Mike mentioned Domino, so I've got to go blind, Nello, playing 42.
Well, I mean, it's fair for everybody. I mean, you know, they're just little fun tournaments. They got boundaries. It's you know, you get beat in this tournament, you just got beat.
Yeah,
you get beat and all that other stuff. It's just because your boat didn't go fast enough, you didn't go shallow enough, you
didn't go
look
far enough,
fish enough. Exactly. There's a lot of good fishermen that fish in that stuff, but doing that don't make you good. I mean, if you're fishing on a bass lake, man, just because it's bad, you can't pull your boat out and go to another lake. You fish with what you got.
That's true.
So that's why I don't fish none of that stuff down there. I mean, it's a lot of money. The guys get, you know, hit a lick. There's some of them $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, but that ain't for me. I might go with somebody, but I never do it.
You just have to commit to it.
Well, Mickey, it's a lot of money.
You don't have the time and the money to do that. I mean, man's got to work.
Yeah, I mean, I can't take off that many days to go down there. I mean, it'd be fun, but and plus, you know, the pre-fishing is just, you just ride around. I mean, that, you know, it's different. That's why none of them tournaments come up here. You know that. You saw that in the redfish tournaments. They can't do it. It's too hard.
Right.
You can't see them. They don't have tournaments here. They don't come.
Nope.
Because it's too hard.
Yes.
So, anyway, we'll see. If they're going to bite, they'll bite today. They probably ain't going to bite very good. I don't need but three anyway.
Yeah, Charlie said he didn't see a dead fish at the cleaning table yesterday.
Yeah, I know a couple people went fishing yesterday. They didn't catch nothing.
It got cold. That was a whole week of cold weather. I mean, it was still 32 at my house yesterday morning when I got home.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It got nice about 11.
Well, Trinity Bay's cold, I'll tell you that, because that wind went southeast yesterday and blowing off that bay, it was like an iceberg.
Oh, yeah, man. You can feel it coming off that water, man.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you can. I'll tell you.
Because probably at one time yesterday, the water, I'm sure, was colder than what the air temperature was.
Oh, no doubt. It's colder right now than the air.
Yeah, I think
it's warm on land. It'll be cold on the water this morning, you know, with 45, 46-degree water.
Yeah, well, I got plenty of stuff. I'll take it off if it gets hot. Probably ain't going to get hot.
I don't think it will.
Now, I did get hot the other day, man. I had me some stuff on. That wind kind of dropped out. That sun come out. I'm like, man, I am dying, dude. I got to start taking some stuff off.
Peel it off.
Well, you can always take it off. You can't always.
That's why you layer. You know, you got to dress properly.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we say ain't no bad days, just bad gear.
Bad gear. Bad gear.
So, we'll see. Well,
I'm a gear monkey. I got that gear, man.
Well, you know, we know what to put on and where and what time. You know, what I can look at the temperature, water temperature, and I know you can too, but what I need to put on. I can look at the wind, how hard the wind's blowing. You just, you know, when you go every day, you figure out, man, this day I need this stuff. You just got to figure it out. So many people show up with stuff that ain't sufficient, man. I said, dude, got to get some stuff, man.
Yeah, and you can tell. You can watch them all day. They're miserable.
Look cold to me.
Yeah, they look cold because they are cold.
Well, the biggest thing is when it's cold is you gotta cut that wind. So when you finish up doing whatever you're gonna do, man, get your slicker, get a
well, yeah, you gotta have something over the outside the top like Gore-Tex or whatever to break the wind.
You gotta cut that wind, man. You cut the wind, you're fine.
Yeah.
But if you got all that stuff on, it's gonna let some wind in. You don't block the wind. That's for sure.
When it's real bad, I put that Sims undergarments on. You know that bib underwear with the stirrups on the feet, and then that top that goes over it and zip it up, and you're not going to get cold, especially if you break the wind. Layer over with some Gore-Tex over that, you're good to go.
Yeah, you're good. I got the same stuff. I don't got no same stuff.
But, you know, you got to pick the right days because, I mean, it gets just halfway decent. You got to peel that stuff off. That stuff will burn you up.
Well, that's what happened the other day. I had all my big-time first layer of Under Armour stuff on, so I had to get down to the nitty-gritty to get rid of all that stuff. Like, man, I am on fire, dude. I got to get rid of this.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to wear that when I'm wade fishing. You know, when the water's cold, wading, it's fine for that. But just fishing out of the boat, it can get too hot.
It can get too hot, yeah, for sure. So I don't know what time we can start fishing.
Do you even have a game plan today, or are you just winging it?
No, I know exactly where I'm going.
Well, at least you're not winging
it. It's either good
or... You'll do better if you just wing it.
Well, I mean, you know, it's either good or it's not. I mean, that, you know, it is what it is.
Did you ever hear of any closures or anything down your way?
Mickey, I never saw nothing. I don't think they did. I don't think they closed it. I really don't.
Okay.
I don't think they did. Because I've seen a couple of boats. I'm not really fishing. I've seen a couple of boats running.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really look, but usually, I mean, in 21, I think they posted that stuff where you couldn't fish, but I never did see it.
I didn't see it either, so, all right.
Well, you know, the water temperature.
With a limit of three, why close anything? I mean, what damage is anybody going to do with three fish, you know? Why bother?
Yeah, not a lot, huh? No. You know, last time I saw the bio get good, man, a camera was like four. So I think it was 96. And we started on them on a Wednesday. And it's only because I busted somebody fishing. I didn't find them. I was going somewhere. I was going to Home Depot. And it was somebody I knew. And they went away. And then when I came back, they were loading up. I saw them coming in. They were loading up. When I went to wherever, Office Depot, I was getting something. Anyway, so I come back, and they're back fishing. I said, oh, man, he's got them. And I went home, got my boat, and it was nasty, dude. And it was on a Wednesday. And, buddy, every fish on the planet was in there. When I left there on Sunday, so he started on a Wednesday. When I left there on a Sunday, I counted 96 boats. In the bio. And it wasn't like they weren't catching them, man. It was crazy. And then they left. I mean, everybody caught a lot of them, but they stayed in there however many days it was. But that's the last time I seen the bio, like, really good. Like, you know, real cold water, you know, bio fishing. And it's the last time I seen it like that. Man, you would throw behind the boat when it first started because it was so cold. And just you just drift and just drag it on the bottom and you kind of just load up. And then each day it would get a little different, you know, where they kind of come up a little bit and they started biting. And we left there on Sunday. I think I made one pass down Long Reef. We caught like 30. And I said, man, let's go. There's too many boats. And I didn't go back. But
yeah, I remember all that stuff used to just pile up. That's back when we had millions of fish and they just pile up most places like that.
Exactly. You know, in some years the bio is real good, some years not. I mean, there's always fish in the bio. They live there, you know that. But some years it's good. I mean, like good fishing. Like 2-3 years ago, before that 21 freeze, I think the whole month of November, I ain't even sure I left the bio. But there was a lot of fish there. And some years it's just not very good. You catch some, but there's better places to go, you know.
Well, you just got to check it. Grandpa and all my dad's buddies, they used to live for that cold weather. They'd head straight to Offutt's. Boy, they used to catch some big old giant trout in the winter out of that place, man.
Yeah, it was that one year. I ain't no telling how many, that little run right there, how many 8-pound trout I saw caught, like a lot of them, like everybody. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. I think it wasn't very long after that they put that closure deal in, if I ain't mistaken.
Well, after 83, that's when they started it. You know, they had that closure in effect, you know, for 89 and 90.
Yeah, but how smart was they in 83, dude? You remember?
Relax the limit.
Relax the limit.
People were loading up truck beds full of dead trout, man, or stunned trout.
We were loading up. You tell me how far TP&Dev has come or how smart they really think they are. Oh, they're all going to die. If they'd have left them fish alone, they were just swimming around on top of the water.
They were stunned. They were just swimming in circles, stunned.
Yeah. I really didn't net many up because, you know, you and I and all of us.
We waited for them to go down and caught them on rod and reels and going, man, what's the limit? There's not any. Let's roll.
Not a limit. I remember that back. Them canals and the yacht basin, we was absolutely destroying them, man.
That was as stupid as it gets, man.
Just
that's when I first met you, too, man.
Was at the yacht basin. We were out there on D dock where the sailboats are at. That was fun, man. That was good fishing. I don't know if they still get in there or not, man. I don't go over there too much anymore.
Well, the Galveston Channel ought to be a magnet for fish, you know.
You would think it would be.
It stays warmer there than anywhere else in the bay when it gets cold. That's why the fish were there. They just all dumped in there like the flounder do, you know?
Same. You know, and I know a lot of them die right where they're at, but, hell, Mickey, for a lot of them got to move somewhere because, you know, in 83, they got out there on the beach. They had to come from somewhere. They had to come out of there to get on the beach. So, man, I don't know. We don't really know. Everybody thinks they know about an old trout. You don't know what he does. He may sit right there and die, and he may swim 50 miles and get out of it. Who knows? Who knows?
Well, when you figure that one out, let me know.
I don't think it'd be mine in your lifetime. Somebody will think they figured out. That's the deal. They'll think they figured out.
Well, all you can do is just go. You don't know unless you go.
You can't catch them at the house. That's a fact, Jack.
That's a fact, Jack. You got that right. All right, James. Well, hey, if somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing with you, my friend, give them some info how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, brother, 409-771-7306. I got a few wade fishing days left in February and March.
All right. Well, good luck to you today, and hope you get what you need.
Yeah, I'll holler at you this afternoon. I'll let you know what we do.
Yeah, save me a few for seed there, buddy.
Oh, I think there'll be plenty. I'll see you later.
All right, brother. Hey, y'all be careful.
All right, brother.
See you, man. All right, that's Captain James Plogg down in Galveston. Well, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentations, fasteners, or gaskets, you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. They have a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery. There's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item or can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team has a combined experience of over 100 years, and they're here to support you from start to finish. Whether it's a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction, Allied has you covered. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated and let them handle it all for you at 281-332-6224. Our sales at AlliedInc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 538 here in the Bayou City. All right. I said, back to G-Town. Let's check in with Captain Michael Marquez. We just call him Sharky. Sharky, what's up, buddy?
What's up, buddy?
Not a lot, dog. Not a lot.
What you got going on?
Man, just hanging out in a controlled environment. Nice and warm.
Yeah, sounds about right. Man, better than this bipolar weather, I'll tell you that.
Man, I'm just now thawing out. I was sick of that.
Golly, man. It's been a weird one. It's warmer today and then tomorrow. Well, I mean,
then I'm hearing about all this big-time polar vortex coming early February. I'm going, man, I'm not seeing it yet, but some people are seeing it on extended forecast.
Goodness gracious, man. I hope not. I hope not. I mean, there was a shoot yesterday. I was just fixing to leave Bayside, and Cajun Chris was down there. He came in and started working on his boat and kind of getting things. We stuck him back in the water and getting things ready to rock, and I was about to leave, and I picked up some ice and made a little snowball and threw it down there at him at the dock. I was like, man, there's still ice.
Yeah.
Still enough. I mean, that's 3 days. That's crazy.
I know.
Still snow, some ice and snow on the ground over at Bayside. I was like, man, I'm ready for it to heat up, buddy.
I'm with you. Yeah, you got your boats back in the water and ready to roll again. Y'all got any trips coming up, or is everybody kind of...
Man, we're slow right now, but I was looking at potentially blasting out on Tuesday.
Right.
I mean, if it pans out, it's still kind of iffy. It's showing 3 footers at like 6 seconds, you know, which is not terrible. I really like 2 footers at 6 seconds, you know, but I'm seeing a little bit of a window to leave maybe Tuesday at like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., drive straight out, you know, 100 miles and catch a bunch of wahoo and come home. I had old Jetty James, one of our guys, man, he hopped on a buddy's boat and they went, you know, kind of right after that snowstorm, man, and it was... Mm-hmm. It was a tight window, man. I looked at it. I'm like, y'all are crazy.
I saw a video of somebody running out there. It may have been the same guy you're talking about. They videoed the boat ride. It was a little bumpy.
Yeah, it's bumpy, brother. It was bumpy. And they left. They did the same kind of thing, man. They left like 1, 2 in the morning or something. And then they're like, man, it wasn't bad. And then, man, at like 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, I mean, right – couple hours after that sun came up, they were like, yeah, it might be time for us to start making our way back. But it got sloppy. It got sloppy quick. So, you know, they caught I think they caught 1 or 2 wahoo, 2 blackfin, and some kingfish. So, you know, it wasn't like super on fire or anything, but, you know, they caught fish. So
yeah.
It's better than going out there and not catching nothing.
I'm with you.
So good on them, man. I mean, at least they had the opportunity to get out. But I'm mad at the fish. But I saw that wind coming in, and I'm not that mad at them.
No,
you know? I'm not that mad at them. But who knows, man? Maybe I'll get out beginning of next week, and we actually have we're prepping. We have you know, our whole family is Cuban, and so we're having a Cuban reunion with our you know, immediate family and extended family at Bayside on Sunday. Well, we're gonna have a bunch of Cuban food, and yeah, we're excited, man. We're gonna get, you know, I lost my grandfather a couple years back, and just kind of a wake up call. You know, life is so short, you know, and so we're gonna get all this family together, and we're gonna actually kind of document you know, their story. You know, I don't know if we're going to put it in a book and put it in a library or what, but we're just going to kind of document all their stories coming from Cuba and Spain. And that way, man, we could share the story of our family, and pass it down, you know? So,
right.
It's a, it's crazy to think, you know, I mean, there was barely pictures when my grandparents were growing up, and now, you know, in 50 years from now, when I got great grandkids, I just pull up a Facebook post or something, you know, and they could see my life as a kid, but not back in their day, you know, I mean, we don't have barely anything, to know about their story and upbringing and stuff like that. You know, you got to ask them and mark it down, because there's no pictures or social media or nothing like that, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I wish I would have done that with my grandfather a little bit more, and kind of heard, you know, I was always asking him about his story and stuff, but man, I wish I would have had him write it down somewhere, or sit him down and get it on video or something. So that's kind
of things I think of all the time. I want to ask my dad, but he's gone, you know, about his parents and before that.
Yeah. It's,
yeah. Yeah.
Life's short, man.
Yeah, it is.
Yep. It's short. So I said, man, that's what we're doing, man. We're bringing in everybody, and we're gonna sit them down and, you know, ask them about their childhood, and
right.
They all have kind of like not surveys, little questionnaires, you know, where everybody's gonna fill out a little bit about them, and you know, it's gonna be cool, man. It's gonna be cool.
Yeah,
but.
I'm in the fourth quarter, I guess. I don't have much family left.
Nah, you got overtime. You got overtime after that, buddy. You ain't going nowhere.
I'm hoping. I'm working on it. Hey, whenever they need me, I'll be there. I'll go to the
public. That's right.
Gates.
That's right, man. That's right. No more pain, no more suffering, buddy. And a lot of big fish, I promise you that.
I promise you, there'll be 10-pounders on every street corner where I'm going.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, baby. That's
trout
what I'm talking
heaven,
about.
Baby, trout heaven.
I love it, man.
I've already been in it a few times in my career, but I'm going to the real one.
Yeah, you're going to the real one. I ain't been in that. I ain't been in it, so, you know, it'll be something for me to see, buddy.
I sure wish there's a lot of you young guys that I know and respect and really like you, and wish you could just have a week of that, just one week of it, just to realize what it was really like. My gosh.
I know. I hear you talking about it, man, and it's just, you know, I think to myself, I think, man, well, when I'm your age, will I be saying the same thing about, you know, our red fishing that we've had, or, you know, tell people, hey,
well,
man.
By the time you're my age, fishing will probably be so crummy that all the stuff you live through, people would die to see that, you know.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And then I'll be saying, hey, man, when I was talking to Mickey, man, in my 20s, you know, he was talking about catching 10 fish stringers of, you know, 30 inches and all. I mean, you know, just people won't even be able to fathom it. Cause it's just, yeah. I don't know, man. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope that the fisheries looks a lot different, you know, in 20, 30, 40
well,
years.
The environment has changed
sustains.
So much. You know, everybody can call it climate change or global warming or whatever they want to call it, but it's the environment itself, the amount of people, industry, everything. It, you know, all
yeah.
correlates,
yeah.
and it just puts a decline on the habitat and everything else. It's not.
Yeah,
us.
That's right. Well, a lot has happened in this last decade, and you know, as social media has come out, and now all of a sudden it's cool to be, you know, it's like a thing, you know, be if all fishermen outdoors, you know, which is great. I mean, that's what God put them here to do, and but God put us on this green earth to enjoy what he gave us and made for us, you know, and I'm not against that. But, yeah, it's just so many new people have come into the sport of fishing, and it's just a lot more lines in the water is what it comes down to, you know. And
I see that, but I remember how it was when I first started out. I mean, when you used to have to wait in line for over an hour, hour and a half to put your boat in the water, I mean, that's how many people fished back then. I mean,
wow.
I don't see those kind of crowds anymore. I mean, all the reefs had 100 boats on them. everywhere. Trinity had one or two boats on them. I mean, look at I've seen Hannah's Reef back in the when the big trout runs. We used to have all them big tide runners come in through the jetties in the summer.
Oh yeah,
Fourth of July weekend. There'd be 150, 200 boats just on Hannah's itself.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
Well, I guess I guess I'm out of line then. That's crazy.
I think I have seen
a picture in your when I came in to do we were doing one of those call-in Sundays, and I was looking around at some photos, and I think either you showed me one or you had one of it was like, I guess, just a shot from the shoreline or something, and there was like 300 people with rods in the water or something.
Yeah, that's
like,
that was rollover pads.
Steve Lyles
had my old buddy from Baytown had those made.
Yeah,
and gave them to me, and that was back in the '50s when
that's crazy.
Shoulder
man.
To shoulder. I mean, people just don't. I've seen back in the day. I've seen the Tech City Dyke where you couldn't even find a parking place.
Yeah,
where trout run was on, or any kind of fish
that's
run,
crazy.
Croaker run, or what have you. Flounder run, and we kind of get aggravated. The problem is nowadays people back then, they didn't know. There wasn't all this networking stuff and social media, and they got their fishing news out of the Chronicle or off of this radio show back when the Stevensons had it, and it was everything just wasn't given away. Now it's everybody's in the same place now because
yeah,
we don't have as many fish spread out like we did before. It didn't bother me because I could leave if an area got crowded, I didn't worry about it. I just started up and went to another spot and found a million more fish there, you know.
Right,
It's not like that anymore.
Right.
Now all these fish are in little tight net areas. And
they get hammered.
Well, the fish never get a break. I remember back in the early 80s, we were catching 7 and 8 pound trout waiting in the wintertime, and you couldn't pay anybody to go with you. Nobody would book you. Nobody fished in the winter.
Oh my God.
And
oh my God.
It was just a different atmosphere back then to what it is now. And
yeah, now people are all about going out there and,
90%
for
of the
one
fish
or two giants.
10% of the fishermen. Now, 90% of the fish are caught by 90% of the fishermen.
Right.
Everybody's
right.
So plugged
I see what
in.
You're saying.
Equipment's
I see
better,
saying.
Technology, everything.
Yeah.
And
it's getting harder on the fish.
I mean, there's
getting harder on the fish.
There's not an oyster shell in this bay that hadn't been turned over with a fisherman on it anymore. I mean, it's just everybody knows.
Yeah.
That puts a lot
true.
Of pressure on the resource.
That is so true, man.
What's
that is so
it?
True. Yeah, it makes me think of what they're doing with flounder season and, you know, the limitations on trout and everything. And, of course, you know, selfishly during those times, you're kind of thinking like, man, I want to go out there and slam them, you know. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I mean, this is something that I enjoy doing and I've been blessed enough to be able to do this passion of mine, and I got to think about, man, like, I got to think about what it looks like to, you know, conserve a little bit and be able to enjoy this, you know, for the rest of my life. And so,
well,
you know, I mean, you just got to treat it with respect, the fisheries.
You
did. You know?
I mean, you know, back in the day, you didn't have to. There was just, I mean, you had gill netters catching 10,000 pounds a night off of reefs. And then the fishermen out behind them with no limits. And 300 and 400 shrimp boats dragging in the middle of the bay all day. And
it just a lot more fish.
It stayed good. And now that we've diminished all these things with a buyback program, no more gill netters, no more shrimpers. It's just steadily declined. And I have no magic wand or answer for that, except for, you know, environmental fallout.
Yeah.
You know, industry and everything else. Commerce.
That's crazy. It's crazy to think about. Yeah, it's probably a lot of different things, Miggy. You know, it's probably
Look at the Gulf of Mexico. It's nothing like what it used to be, especially on kingfish runs. I mean,
yeah, the kingfisher. I don't know what the heck happened to the kingfish buddy
back in the day. That's all they, you know, they'd get them a few snapper. But man, we're going kingfishing. We're going to melt every down we got in this boat, and they would.
Yeah, yeah, that's been something that's been very interesting to me. Very, very
interesting.
It's not only
in the bays, it's in the Gulf too. You know, things
have changed. It is changing. It is changing out there.
Hell, I used to go out to the Hill Bank, and there'd be, man, there'd be over 100 boats out there.
Oh my gosh. Oh my God. That's crazy. That is a crazy thought.
Everybody's burning their reels up on kingfish, on shrimp boats. It, you know, structure didn't matter. Rocks, they were eating them up, man.
Yeah, now it's like, oh my gosh, we got limit snappers, some grouper. Man, we even caught some kingfish. You know, it's like a crazy. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's been weird. It's been weird. The kingfisheries has been one to scratch your head over for the last couple
of
years.
You know, I look at it with guff trout and, you know, the big croaker run and, you know, the big, you know, schools of sand trout and guff trout and things that it was just so healthy through those times, and it's not anymore. I mean, the new people coming into the sport think that it is, but they never saw what, you know, healthy
what was. It was before
what it, yeah. And that's the deal. That's the hardest thing for me to get fired up about nowadays is I know when I go I don't have a good shot at catching an 8 or a 9 pound trout like I used to. I mean,
right,
on a bad day it catch at least 1 over 8.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I can't even see that. Doesn't even, that's crazy.
You know, those are unicorns now. There used to be kind of fish swimming around. Man, that tide runner run in the summer. You know, we already had big giant resident trout, a bunch of them. But man, when those big surf runners had come in, I mean, it was just, man, if you weren't at the hog pens or sitting on Hannah's Reef when that was going on, you missed it. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, you catch one of those fish out of 100 trips now, you know, 9 pounder or whatever, and you're like, man, that's oh my God, fish of a lifetime. And it is for this lifetime, you know, it is for this time. You know, it's a 9 pound trout is giant.
Times have changed, and we've just had to adapt to them and lower the bar, so to speak. So, all right, Sharky, I got to run,
brother.
Buddy. If somebody wants to come down to Bayside and get hooked up and booked up, give them some info.
Come on with it, man. Come see us in Galveston, Texas. We got lodging, on-site lodging, do corporate events, parties, weddings, you name it. And then, of course, come hop on the boat. We'll go make some memories. OutcastFishingCharters.com. And we'll see you soon, guys. Everybody be safe. Have a blessed weekend. And, Mickey, hopefully I'm going wahoo fishing on Tuesday.
I hope so. I'll work on that weather for you, brother.
Thank you, brother. God bless, Mickey. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, man. Take care, buddy.
See you, man. Have a great morning.
All right, it's time for our top of the hour break and the national anthem, all that good stuff. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.